The following message was given by Brothers Israel Hsu and Peter Yu in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, December 23, 2018. The title of the message is The Prayer of the Age to Fulfill God's Economy and the Sacrifice of Praise to Display Christ's Victory. Scripture reading, Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23, Psalms chapter 22, verse 3, and Psalms chapter 119, verse 164, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 20 through 22, Matthew chapter 16, verse 19, Matthew chapter 18, verse 18, and Acts chapter 16, verse 25.
Thank you for making us your church. Amen. Oh, the ones to carry out with you your economy. Amen. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Amen. Well, this week we are concluding this series of messages of the church as the warrior, right? The new man as the warrior. And the title of this message is The Prayer of the Age to Fulfill God's Economy and the Sacrifice of Praise to Display Christ's Victory. This matter of the prayer of the age might be new to some of us. And in fact, when I read about this, I thought, what is this kind of prayer? The prayer of the age to fulfill God's economy. And the reading mentioned that this is a prayer that is far beyond our human concept. So what is this? If it's beyond my human concept, then what is this prayer? What is the prayer that fulfills God's economy? And I was reminded I had a similar question many years ago when I was in the full-time training. We were praying for a brother who was ill, and the illness was unto death. So it was serious illness. And as we trainees were praying and endeavoring to pray, a brother reminded us that Brother Lee once said, don't pray for me, because when you pray for me, that invites the enemy's attack. Right? So if you're in warfare and the enemy sees that you are gathering your resources around a city, that means then the enemy knows there's something important about that city that invites the enemy's attack. So then how should we pray? Then the brother said, pray for the Lord's will to be done and pray for the Lord's economy to be accomplished. And, you know, I still didn't understand that. I thought, well, if you're just praying for the Lord's will to be done, but in your heart you're still praying for that brother to be healthy and be recovered, aren't you praying the same thing? Doesn't the Lord know? So I didn't have the view of what is this prayer that is beyond the human concept. That was beyond my human concept, what it meant to pray for the Lord's will to be done, being different from praying that that brother would be healed. So I appreciate, actually, the reason I didn't have that idea that was beyond my concept was because I didn't have this revelation of who Christ is and where he is. Our Christ, firstly, who he is. Of course, he is the Son of God. But even more, in God's economy, he is the Son of Man. And so when we speak of where he is in resurrection, and he is in the heavens in ascension, he's not only there as the Son of God, he is there as the Son of Man. Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We need to see this vision.
Amen.
That not only is he there in the heavens because he's God, he's in the heavens as the exalted man. That's why when Peter was preaching the gospel to the Jews, he said that this Christ, right, he was enthroned, he's the Lord of all. Then he said, he tacked on at the end, this Jesus whom you have crucified. This man who died as a criminal, not a, he wasn't a criminal, but he was crucified as a criminal, and he died, and he was buried. This one has been raised.
Amen.
And this one has ascended to the height, and he has been crowned. He has been made Lord of the universe. This one whom you have crucified. Oh, saints, if we see this, if we see his ascension, then our prayer is changed. Because our prayer will not just be asking the Lord, begging the Lord. Actually, we will have the realization, he is the Lord.
Amen.
He is the Lord of everything. He is in control. We just need to pray for his will to be brought down to the earth. And along with this vision, having this fresh revelation of the Lord in his ascension, we will also realize that the church's position is also there, right? In Ephesians, we didn't read this verse, but Ephesians 2, verse 6, God raised us up together with him and seated us together with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So instead of praying on the earth, gathering our resources in a way that's visible to the enemy, we are, it's like the satellites orbiting the earth. We are way up there, looking down upon the earth where the enemy is trying to do his work, right? Rather, the church prays from a position of height, a position of ascension. And we, as the body of Christ, we are one with him as the head of the body. If we see this revelation, then our prayer will be changed. We will no longer be begging, but rather we will be claiming according to his authority. And I appreciate, we have this experience. You may say, well, it's beyond my human concept. Maybe I haven't had this experience. But we have had this experience a little bit when we pray for the gospel. When we pray for the salvation of our friends and our family, many times we ask the Lord, Lord, save this person. But many other times, we instead of asking the Lord, we claim that this person will be saved. And sometimes, when you are one with the Lord, you have the sense, Lord, it can't be that long. It must be this year.
Amen.
Or if you're really one with the Lord, you may say, Lord, it must be this month.
Right.
Or Lord, I know it will be the next time I go to speak to this person.
Right.
This is a claiming by the authority of the Lord. It's no longer just asking the Lord, but it's being one with the Lord and trusting in him. Amen. So this kind of prayer is different. It's not according to the human concept. Amen. So I just was touched. Lord, when I spend time with you, I don't just want to consider my own condition, but unveil to me where you are and unveil to us where we are, that is, seated with you. Praise the Lord. This is such a precious fact that we need to apply. Amen. And then just another point on this matter of our prayer. In order to have this kind of prayer, it was brought out that there are two prerequisites. One is that we need to realize that we are members of the body. And this realizing is not just a knowing, but it's a living. A living of the body of Christ. We must realize that we are members of the body and we must live, act, and move in the body. And then the example of this is that when Paul was imprisoned by the Romans, he was not separated from the body of Christ. Even though physically he was apart, yet he was still enjoying the supply of the body through the prayers of the saints. So this shows that he was in a living of the body. And the second prerequisite is that in our daily life, we practice to put off the old man and to put on the new man.
Amen.
Amen. By the renewing of the spirit in our mind. If we practice this daily, then we are in the body. We realize we're one with our ascended head. Amen. Now, I'd like to say a little bit something about praise. Another kind of, this kind of prayer is a praising prayer because the victory has been won. And we read some verses this morning. I just appreciate that the Lord is enthroned on our praises.
That's right.
You would think that, well, the Lord is the Lord. He's enthroned. Whether we praise or not, the fact is he's on the throne. But actually, the Lord would say, no, to be in glory and to be on a glorious throne is to be praised by his people. So he is enthroned on our praises. He's sitting on our praises. If we don't praise, then where is his throne? So David said he praised 7 times a day. Oh, I was just exposed. That is not my habit or my practice to praise so often. 7 times a day. That's at least once every 2 hours, right? So you may remember to pray and thank the Lord when you eat 3 times a day. But what about praising him 7 times a day? Oh, maybe we should ask the Lord, Lord, remind me this week to praise you 7 times a day. I want to try that and see how it affects my living. Amen. I'd like to remind the saints, we read the verse that Paul and Silas, at midnight, they were in the prison, right? And they were singing hymns of praise. And of course, what had got them there in that prison, it wasn't pleasant. But actually, that whole trip was not pleasant. I was looking at it a little bit in Acts chapter 16. This was Paul's second journey, right? The first journey, he went out with Barnabas, and they went to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And wherever they went, Paul still had a burden for his brothers, the Jews. So wherever they a lot of times, wherever they went to the synagogue first to speak to the Jews. And then the Jews, some of them would say, we'll see about this. Some believed, some say, we'll see, and some rejected. And then eventually, they have to go to the Gentiles, which was Paul's original calling of the Lord. But during their first trip, a trouble arose, which is that some of the Jewish believers said, those Gentiles, they need to be circumcised, or else they cannot be of the people of God. And of course, Paul and Barnabas said, no, this is the New Testament faith. We're not under the law. And so that first trip ended with their going back to the elders in Jerusalem. There was a conference. And then the conclusion of that conference was, no, the Gentiles are not under the requirement of circumcision. And so they wrote a letter. And the second trip was Paul's trip to go back to those churches and give them the good news. We are not under the law. We are under grace. So this second trip begins in Acts 16, and Paul goes with Silas, and they go visit a young brother named Timothy. Right? Timothy was born of a Jewish mother, but he had a Greek father, so he was not circumcised. Now, this was supposed to be a trip of rejoicing to tell the Gentiles the good news and the encouragement from the brothers in Jerusalem. And yet, Paul, you know, was introduced to Timothy. He said, Timothy is good. I want Timothy to come with us on this trip. But because of the opposition of the Jewish believers, Paul had to circumcise Timothy. Think of that. What kind of opposition this was. Here he was with Silas, trying to bring this news to the Gentiles that they should live under grace, not fulfilling the law, and yet he was forced to circumcise this young coworker. Not a pleasant thing, right? Then they were leaving that place, and this is the place where they were considering where to go. And in verse 6, it says that they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. I know many times in our experience, the Holy Spirit forbids us to do certain things that we shouldn't do. But here, the co-workers, Paul and his co-workers, Silas and Timothy, were seeking to speak the word. And here the Holy Spirit is forbidding them to speak the word. So this must have been a kind of suffering, right? And then in the next verse, they came to Mysia. They tried to go into Bithynia, yet the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So they're trying to go this way. This Holy Spirit forbids them. They try to go this way, and the Spirit of Jesus does not allow them. This is another kind of suffering. This is not a suffering because of sin. This is a suffering of following the Lord, right? And then, of course, then in the night, we know Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia crying out to them, come here, come and help us. And so then that was the leading of the Lord to go to Macedonia. So they went to Macedonia, which is a region, it was a Roman colony, and they eventually got to Philippi, which is the leading city in Macedonia. And it's interesting, on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river where we supposed there would be a place of prayer. So when they arrived in Philippi, they did not go to the synagogue. And you may ask, well, why not? They're going there to speak the word. I think, you know, they were looking for a place to pray. That indicates a little bit the atmosphere. They realized we're not going in a way of strength, but we need to pray first. And then, of course, while they were there, there was a woman overhearing their prayer, and she received the gospel. She and her household were saved. And then right after that, when they entered the city, there was another woman who was possessed with a demon, a foretelling demon, and she was following them, crying out, these men are the slaves of the Most High God, who announced to you the way of salvation. And this disturbed Paul. You can think it's not a pleasant thing to be followed by a demon-possessed woman, right? This certainly would have hindered their speaking of the gospel. So you can see this trip is full of trouble, full of suffering. And then this happened for many days. So Paul and Silas and Timothy, they were enduring this demon-possessed woman. And finally, it says, Paul was greatly disturbed. And turning, he said to the Spirit, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. So finally, he cast out that demon, right? And this was the, you know, have you ever had a day where just everything goes wrong? This was one of those days. Because as soon as he cast out that demon, the masters of that woman got angry because they realized their source of profit, which was this demon-possessed woman's ability to tell the future, was gone. So they riled up the crowd, and we know the story. The men were falsely accused of being Jews, of overturning the city, and governors arrested them, had them beaten, and then they were thrown in the maximum security prison. And Paul and Silas were there. So where's Timothy? They must have been separated, right? In fact, later we know that Paul considered Timothy his own son. So for Paul and Silas to be separated from Timothy, I'm sure, must have not been a comforting thought, right? I think this was also a trouble. And yet, after all of this, Paul and Silas there are praying and singing hymns of praise. You know, it's been said before, they could have been complaining, right? Silas could have said, why did you cast out that demon? We could have endured it a little longer. Why did we have to raise that trouble? And Paul could have been saying, why did you lose Timothy? I don't know. Anyway, a lot of troubles, right? In the midst of troubles, they were offering a sacrifice of praise. I was just touched by this. Our natural concept is we praise the Lord when it's good, when the going is good. And when the going is rough, then we pray. But this is beyond the human concept. And that is in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of a very bad day. At the end of the day, midnight, what are Silas and Paul doing? They are praising the Lord. They are singing. Oh, I don't know about you, but when you have that kind of day, it's hard to praise. It's hard to open your mouth, but then when you open your mouth, what comes out is complaining. Lord, this day was terrible. I thought I had a good start. But to praise the Lord is an exercise, and it is a sacrifice. What is it a sacrifice of? It's a sacrifice of myself. It's a sacrifice of my feelings. Because in order to say, praise the Lord, I have to say, you know what? The real situation is that the Lord is on the throne and he is worthy of praise. And my situation, which seems real, my emotions, my troubles, are not that real compared to the fact that the Lord is on the throne and that we, as the members of the body, are joined to him. So to praise in that moment is a sacrifice of myself. And then, not only to praise the Lord, but to sing. So I can praise the Lord by thinking, praise the Lord. But then to sing is an even more of a sacrifice, right? Lord, I'll praise you, but I can't sing right now. The people in the subway will think I'm insane. No. It's a sacrifice, and it's a sacrifice of our lips. This is the kind of praise that enthrones him. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So they sang hymns of praise, and the prisoners were listening to them. I was just touched. In our daily living, there are prisoners all around us. They're listening. So may we be those singing people, enthroning the Lord on our praises. Amen. So with that, Brother Peter wrote a hymn, and we would like to teach you a new hymn. It's an old tune, but it's new words.
Amen.
Amen. The tune is the second part of the children's song, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. So we sing, praising my Lord. Praising my Lord, hallelujah. Praising my Lord, hallelujah.
Praising the Lord, hallelujah, praising.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praising our King.
Amen.
Praising our rule.
Amen.
Praising our head.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Praising our Lord.
Amen. The past 5 weeks, I've been going through five halls other than hall one. Everywhere I go, hall two, three, five, five, six, eight. And praise the Lord. Wherever we go, we just see the saints enjoying the church life, full of praises. Saints, the church life is going on, but don't forget, it's always a warfare. Yeah, this is the last but second Lord's Day for 2018. Yesterday, just full of praises. We're one step closer to being fully redeemed, to see our Lord face to face. Since 61 years going strong in the church history of New York City, we are marching into 61st anniversary by January 5th of 2019. And the church has been standing here, shining as a lampstand, testifying for the Lord for 61 years. Can you imagine in our hymnal, there is only one church has been mentioned in our hymnal. I believe it's 1224? 26. There is a church in New York City. Praise the Lord. Oh, yesterday, just several times got moved. I said, Lord, I can't prepare this message without singing. Just to let you know, I don't know music at all. So yesterday, I was on a stream of composing several hymns. Now, this one I was composed in English first, and then translated into Chinese. Several I just wrote in Chinese. I'm not translated into English yet. And yesterday was the only day of the year I completely blocked out from myself and the Lord. So I spent the whole day before my Lord, counting all the blessings to the church in 2018. And as of last night, when Israel was calling me to pray, I told him, I said, brother, I finished 36 items of the Lord's blessing to the church in New York City. I thought, what blessing, huh? What blessing we have. Doesn't he deserve our praises? Saints, all the blessings is not because we receive the blessing and then we praise. The blessings bestowed upon us while we are praising. In order to give the saints more time to prophesy, I would cut my sharing very short, as short as possible. And for this message, saints, we need a conceptual change. I want to testify to you. For all these years, the kingdom prayers struck me the most. And many times the saints were asked me to pray for their needs, for their issues, for their families, for their marriages, and for their business, for whatever situation. And I would ask them back, do you give me the liberty to pray however I want to pray? And a few times they were asking me, Brother Peter, how would you pray? This one family right now, more than 15 of them returned to the church life. And they own several business in this area. And the saint asked me, all these family members, they all saved, but they're not in the church life. I said, because you're making too much money. said, Brother Peter, need you to pray for us. I said, how would you want me to pray? To pray for your family to make more money? For your children to open more business? How would you want me to pray? And then the saint said, how would you like to pray? I said, really? Yeah. Can I pray they can lose money? They can close the stores? Their stores can be on fire? However the Lord's will is, if your goal is, Lord, I want them to return to the church life. However you want to do it, whatever you want to do it, Lord, do it. Do you want me to pray this way? And that saint said, let me think about it. A week later, of course, their shops are still around. And the saint told me, Brother Peter, please pray. Now, a year later, during this year, one by one, family by family, right now, including their children, including their little babes, about 20 of them returned to the church life, serving and functioning. Now, they hired more helpers just to free them so they can come back to the church life. Since the prayer, we're not talking about a superstition or talking about a phantom. No, it's real. The warfare between God and Satan is man. However man chooses, whoever man sympathizes with, whoever man stands with, that's where makes determine the outcome. Many times, saints, we were too weak in our prayers. If you think about Paul, when Paul, the first trip, his journey, going with Barnabas, bringing John and Mark with them, they went to Cyprus, western part of Cyprus. They were meeting with this proconsul. In Chinese, it's called a governor, Sheng Zhang. And when they were preaching gospel to him, we know this Bar Jesus was keep interrupting them, trying to counter defend the preaching of the gospel. I believe the first person preaching gospel to the proconsul is Barnabas, because Barnabas is a good person. He's a good person. His name translated as comforter. Remember? The brother has a different constitution, different demeanor. He's a kind, very good brother, okay? But preaching the gospel in face of a Bar Jesus, the guy had a lot of magical power and influence on the proconsulate. The proconsulate is getting confused. That's when Saul, also known as Paul, he looked at Bar Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He's so bold, so daring. That could be the end of their first trip. Barnabas and John could just break up with him. Or the proconsul could arrest him. No, he was so bold, face to face, as if he was rebuking Satan. Remember that a few verses? If we can go back, if we can project it, is it Acts 13? I believe it's from verse 9. Let me see. Let's read it together. Since today is the end of the year, let's shout, rebuke Satan. With this a few verses, how about that? Amen. Verse 9, let's only proclaim what Paul said, okay? Just as if you were Paul, facing the adversary, facing Satan, facing any hindrances, Let your spirit be released. Let's proclaim these a few verses. Let your 2018 blockages, anything blocking your psychological arteries, let's blow it through. Okay. Let's proclaim together. I'm sorry, from 10. Let's just from all you who are full. Okay. All you who are full of all deceit and all unscrupulousness, son of the devil, enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And the darkness fell upon him, and he went about and saw the sun to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul, seeing what had happened, believed, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Brothers, sisters, 2018, we were very weak in our gospel preaching in Hall 1. 2019, let's redeem the time. Let's regain the ground in Hall 1. This is the spirit in prayer. If you have a new one, a carried one, you don't have to pray before them like this. But for them, we need to have this fighting spirit, this rebuking spirit, this really the spirit of the heavenlies to pray, to release the bondage from the friends, from the saints. Because from Matthew 16:18 and 18:19, we saw that whoever, whatever we bind on the earth, those already been bound in the heavens, whoever, whatever we release, those already been released in the heavenlies. Saints, we hold the key. The throne cannot execute Satan until the man child being raptured. The kingdom will not come until the first fruits, the numbers fulfilled. Since we hold the key for all what's going on in the world. These days, so many things happening. We know, we all know, the age is consummating. And even though we are in the age of grace, we could have been living at different stages of the age of grace. We are at the last stages. The age of the grace is consummating. But are we really exercising and carrying out what our Lord's needs are at the end of this age? Or are we still full of thoughts, full of cares for our own earthly needs? If that still occupying us, the Lord in Luke 17, when he was talking about the age of Noah, talking about the age of Lot, he reminded us, remember the wife of Lot. Her heart was not only totally occupied, consumed by the living, the property, the life, everything in Sodom. Her heart, even though physically she left the city, but her heart was bound. Her heart was joined with her property behind, relatives behind, business behind, bank savings behind. Everything is pulling her back. And she turned She paused and she turned. Since this, I think this message is so proper to finish this year, the prayer of the age to fulfill God's economy. The church is the crucial person, you know, to carry out that prayer of this age. Of course, many times we need to practice and to learn how to exercise, because prayer is deny the self. Kingdom prayer is not only deny ourselves, not only losing the soul life. Kingdom prayer is place our life completely with our Lord for His kingdom. And we know there are, I don't know how the Americans do it. We know there's a Japanese term called a kamikaze, right? Kamikaze pilots, right? Actually, brothers and sisters, the Lord today needed some kamikaze Christians. We're not going out of there to attack people, but in our spirit, in our determination, for the coming of the Lord, for the consummation of this age, for the building up of the body, for the adorning of the bride, for the expression of the one new man. Saints, the Lord needs some saints, need some saints to be this kind of Christians in prayers, to sympathize, to cooperate, to fully one with Him. Lord, wherever you go, I follow. Lord, however you fight, I follow. Lord, whatever your will is, I'm in. Lord, whatever price to pay, I'm in. Lord, whatever sacrifice you demand, I'm in. Brothers and sisters, for the past few years, I'm going to be in the church life for 21 years soon. The brother who, really the first two brothers who shepherded me, one is Alex Chen, the other one is Charles Zhang. These two brothers, somehow, they trained me from prayers. Even when I was a new believer, the brothers were leading me to the meeting hall to kneel down every Saturday to pray for 2 to 3 hours. Many times it's kingdom prayers. I have no idea. I'm just a newbie, just whatever they wanted me to pray, I just pray. But the exercise is to put off all your thoughts, put off all your needs, put off whatever interest you may have, put off whatever the prayer may hurt your interest, you pray. I'll give you a few testimonies. One time, our company, the stock was very high, reaching $70-some. But we had so many saints saved and preaching gospel in that company. So some of us, new ones, we feel we should scatter into other companies and to preach gospel in other companies. And how would you do that? You fellowship with the saints. You know, can you go to Merck? Can you go to Sharon Plow? Why don't you apply jobs there? Because those days the jobs are very easy. You know, saints will be enjoying the church life, gathering together, you know. No one leaves until this one brother. He said, I go. We prayed. He said, why don't you move to Syracuse? Syracuse, we just prayed. The warfare starts. If you don't move, if we do not move for the Lord's interest, the enemy is sleeping. If you begin to move, the enemy wakes up, because he really don't care much about our warm, fuzzy, scratching prayers. He cares for the kingdom prayers. Later, the church in Syracuse was raised up, strengthened. Saints, that prayer really stirred that things up. And we prayed, Lord, if they don't move, move the saints. Okay, I'm going to shout it out. Okay? We prayed, Lord, if you have to, crash this company so we can all scatter. And then the stock, within a week, fell from 75 to 28. And then a few brothers got scared. Our prayers stopped. The stock climbed back. Saints are still enjoying the church life. Only one brother who took the action moved to Syracuse. Now he's serving in the church in Indianapolis, and another one serving in Beltsville. Brothers and sisters, prayer is no joke. Prayer is not petitioning for goodness, blessing, grace. Prayer, if you open for prayer, the ultimate is warfare. My time is up. Oh, all right. By the end, in 2 Chronicles, our brother just read the verses. When the nation of Judah, you know, by those days, Judah is a small nation with the two tribes, Judah and Benjamin. The population is scarce, and Israel is divided to the north. And this neighboring cousin nations, right, they are cousin nations, they are relatives. These nations, when on the way going to the good land, God prohibited the Israelites not to attack them, not even to bother them. But now they're turning around to attack the nation of Judah. With a small nation, underpopulated, undergunned, the army just, we don't know what's the ratio. If you remember the Six-Day War in 1967, the population against then a small nation of Israel, the total population is 22 to 1. In those days, the nations surrounding Israel said we can push them into Mediterranean Sea. The army mobilized is about 5 to 1. Weaponry is U.S. weaponry versus a third world country. Lord, the Lord was fighting for Israel. We know what's the result. Actually, the war, even though called a six-day war, the war was finished in 3.5 days. The rest of 2.5 days, they're cleaning up and are trying to chase the remnant away. This is the modern day history. The same thing happened in 2 Chronicles. The nation of Judah was oppressed, ready to be wiped out from the face of the earth. This king, Jehoshaphat, this is one of the better kings in the history of Judah. He petitioned to Jehovah. I'm not going to go through that detail. He basically challenged God, using his prayer to challenge God. I don't know if you ever prayed this way. Saints, I can testify for you. The challenging prayer to God for his interest, for his name, for his throne, for his representation, for his people. If you challenge God, God will do it. Moses did the same thing. Moses God said, you turn around and let me wipe them out so your descendants can become a great nation. Moses said, basically he said, I know you can do it, but what about the Egyptians? They're going to laugh at you. And when Jehoshaphat, really in prayer, prays but a challenge to God, the prophet rose up. He encouraged them. And the king took a counsel with his people. Imagine, saints, who would have believed them? Who would have believed a prophet said, God will fight for you? It's not for you, it's not you who are fighting, it's God. And the king rose up. Hey, did you hear him? He said, God is going to fight for us. Let's all rise up. Let's prepare for war. Imagine the citizens. It's easy for you to say, it's our life, our family, our wife, our house, our business, our money, our whatever. It's on as a stake. We'd rather surrender. Maybe we can survive. No, he took a counsel. He took a counsel with the people. Obviously, if we use Judah as the church, all the saints entered into their request. Since 2019, it's going to be a glorious year. We needed to move together. No murmuring. No complaining. Let's all shout in oneness. Amen. Let's see how Satan will tremble in the church in New York City, particularly Hall 1. Can we fill up this hall next year? Can we have even the existing seats on both sides? Can we at least for every seat, there is a saint sitting on the chair? We are keep reducing the number of chairs. Why can't we increase the number of chairs? Why can't we through this grow another district, grow churches in Long Island? Brothers and sisters, the prophet already spoken. It's all in the New Testament. The age has been rolling on for 2,000 years. Is finishing. And the brothers are taking the lead in the church. Some maybe need a little more encouragement. Let's all go on together. Amen. They all took in the council and they made a wreath, which means rose, beautiful rose. Oh, Lord Jesus. I was scared of the Jude for those people. You know, if you've got a scattered, one arrow can only kill one. If you line up, one arrow could have killed two. No, they line up in the face of the enemies. Isn't this a Psalm 23 said? You spread a table of feast in the face of my adversaries. Jehoshaphat did that. All the saints followed. All the saints cooperated. All the saints placed everything, including their life, before Jehovah. Armies all over the place. If you read it, the army cannot see from the head to the end. It's filling the valleys. And then this small group of people coming out, no weapons, but in dress ups, not in armories, just dress in solitary clothes, coming out in a race, facing the enemies, waiting for the command. And when the command comes, sing praises. all the people begin to sing. But that word is, as soon as they begin to sing the praises, the enemy begin to kill themselves one against another. Brothers and sisters, the enemy is Satan and his followers. The enemy is in the air. The enemy is in the world. The church is sounding the marching orders. Next year, all ages, we started the senior meeting, English-speaking senior meeting, on November 7th. Now, 7 weeks into it, the saints are enjoying tremendously. And we hope in Manhattan next year, we're going to resume and have another senior meeting. We hope all the seniors and retired ones will have ways to enjoy and to function. Their prayer life is the great need of the church. Next year, we hope we can have a service office fully established, many saints who can daily to serve together. Next year, we're going to have our babies, fifth, sixth graders, young people, college, young working saints. We have so many things not arranged according to meetings, but we really desire the next generation will be recovered, rejuvenated, and our next children, next generation, really will be remain in the church life, where by all means, from babes to college, we want to keep every one of them in the church life. Saints, we need to fight for this. We need to war for this. Saints, we will grow into Staten Island. Our brothers serving the facilities already looking. We will grow, we hope, in Bayside Great Neck. We hope to grow in Nassau County, grow in Suffolk. Next year, there are so many new jobs come to New York City. We hope we will grow in the White Plains and the Bronx area. And we're in fellowship with the churches in New Jersey. We're going to become one with the churches in New Jersey and Connecticut, have regional testimonies, and we'll raise up new churches along Jersey City, Hoboken, and Fort Lee. Lord Jesus, saints, there are, I wrote 26 action items for next year. Brothers and sisters, if we line up in array, sing praises in one accord, and act as the army of the Lord, not to care what our interest is, but his interest, his economy shall be fulfilled. And we will be full of praises. After all, when our Lord comes, what's on the earth for you? What's on the earth you can take with you before the Lord? Saints, we now need to keep the end in mind. We need to keep the end in mind. If 6,000 years is a countdown, now we are really by the last, I don't know how many years, probably very countable number of years. We are in a countdown mode. Since what's in this world have anything to do with us? Buy more houses, have more this, more that. It's all gonna be gone with our enemy. Saints, wake up. I'm sorry, I'm full of zeal for you. Saints, wake up. 2019, let's praise together. Let's war together. Let's go on together. Glorious church in New York City. The Lord bestowed this great city to his church, not to Wall Street. If you remember early this year, as in 2018, Wall Street will crash. I tell you the truth, it's not bottomed out yet. Don't place our hope in Wall Street. Not place our hope in Google, Amazon. Our hope is the hope of glory. Saints, we do live in this physical world. We do need to work. We do need to look for jobs. We do need to care for the family. Those are all transient. But with the glorious testimony, the Lord will take care of our family, will take care of our job, will take care of what we practical needs. That's what the Lord said in Matthew 6. Trust in that word. 2019, glorious. We need to pray for the brothers who are serving and buying meeting halls. We need to pray for so many special service groups. Next year, we hope so many saints will be functioning in all aspects of the church life. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, amen. We are here for you. Amen. We are here for your kingdom. Amen. We are here for your economy. Amen. Lord, we are here for finishing up the building up of your body. Preparing to be your bride. Amen. Lord, glorify your church. Amen. So your church can glorify you. Amen. Lord, glorify your sons. Amen. Your sons can glorify you. Amen. Lord, you have won the victory. Amen. We are here. Claim your victory. Amen. Declare your victory. Amen. Lord Jesus, bless your church. Amen. Bless your recovery. Amen. Bless the churches in this region. March on with you in 2019. Whatever your will is in 2019, make it fully realized. Not one thing to be hindered, to be distracted. Lord Jesus, bless your saints so your saints can bless you. Amen.